Welcome to The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily. Each week, we investigate themes of leadership, entrepreneurship, and mindset with some of the greatest minds in real estate. And now, the data scientist of real estate, George Roberts.
Welcome back, entrepreneurs. We have now round two with Nitzan Mosery. We had a great time in the last episode. We learned a lot about his approach to real estate. He's in multifamily. He's done flipping. He's also in student housing. A lot of great insights there. And here in the second episode or second half of this episode, we're going to go really deep into his philosophy on life. You're going to hear his true life story and how he is making a huge difference in the world. And if you did miss the first half, I want you to go back and listen to right at the end. He's got some great freebies for you. So go check that out. And with that, I'd like to welcome you back, Nitzan.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Love it. Okay, so when you're out living under the tree, let me see if I got the story right. Is this when you're in Israel or where were you at that time?
When I was?
I believe there's a time you describe yourself as having been living under a tree for 6 months. Is that on the beach in Israel?
That was Portugal. On the beach. Yeah, I was in Portugal. That was in Portugal. I had arrived to Portugal. I was making jewelry at the time. I had semi-precious stones that I bought in India. And I sat with someone for months teaching me how to make jewelry and how to make these beautiful chains and necklaces and so forth. So I spent a lot of time sitting, making jewelry and whatnot to go to festivals and sell and make money and so forth. So when I was in Portugal, when I arrived to Portugal, my bag that I had been traveling with for years and years and of, you know, bringing all these things with me and bought different clothing and made clothing and whatnot, disappeared. So I had no money and I had no way of making money. I didn't have a tent. I didn't have a sleeping bag. I had nothing. All I had was my passport. I had a one-way ticket into Portugal. I had $100 to my name and that was it. So, and I went to a music festival, and at the music festival, I met some locals, really nice people. And thanks to them, they gave me a tent and a sleeping bag. And they started spreading the word that I was a Reiki teacher and a Reiki master. So I started teaching people Reiki on the beach. And that's how I started making money. So for 6 months, I was living on this beach on a tent, in a tent with a sleeping bag with no clothes, just a shirt and I had Thai fishing pants. That was my only clothing that I had. And I was teaching people Reiki. And it was one of the best times that I had. And, you know, a lesson that I learned was attachments. I grew so attached to that bag and the clothing and the jewelry. And then I didn't have it. So it taught me another lesson. How do you make something from nothing? What do you do? How you're out there? I could have easily just stood on a corner and begged for money. But that was not my personality. I did not want to be that person. In life, we have to ask ourselves, who do I want to be? What person? What kind of person? Forget about everything else. Forget about the world. Forget about your spouse. Forget about your children, your coworkers, the environment that you're living in. It's all about who do I want to be? When I'm 60, 70, 80 years old, and I look back and I talk to my kids and my grandkids about that time, what stories do I want to tell them? Do I want to tell them, oh yeah, you know, your grandfather lost everything and I was SOL and I begged for money? That's what you got to do in life. You just got to beg. That's not the story I wanted to tell. I want to tell a different story. My bag was lost. I didn't know where I was going to get food. I didn't know what, but I trusted in the universe that I have to be here for a reason. And I'm going to be open to bringing in everybody, the experience, the people, whoever it was, to teach me and to educate me and to bring me up to the next level and to show me why I am in this situation and how to get out of it. And I started meeting people and talking to people. My energy could have been so different. I could have been, oh my God, I lost my bag and I got nothing. Please help, please help. But instead I said, yeah, don't worry about it, man. It sucks. I had stuff for years that I traveled that were very warm, close to me and I wanted and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Let's go out. Let's enjoy life. Let's have a good time. Let's enjoy the festival. Afterwards, I met people and so forth. So it's all about the attitude as well, how you how you accept things and how you bring things. And I learned this through my travels of meeting people that had so little, and yet they had a sparkle in their eye and they were grateful for what they had. And their being and their energy was just blew me away when I saw that they had less than nothing and they were still happy and grateful for what they had. So it was life-changing.
Yeah, huge lesson there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, huge lesson. I mean, the Bible teaches us the negative impact of envy, right?
Yes.
And I think it's a lesson that it's such an old lesson, but it's probably time it becomes new again, because it's probably the lesson that the world today needs to learn more than anything. If you have envy, it doesn't matter how much you have, you're poor.
That's right. That's right. You know, sometimes, you know, and we're all guilty of it. I do it too, right? Sometimes I'm sitting here and I'll go on LinkedIn or Facebook and I'll look at my, you know, colleagues and people, and then it's like, I'm like, God, how did I do that so fast? Jeez, man. Oh my God. Blah. And, you know, I stop myself and I say, okay, just look at them. I can see what other people are doing, learn from them and whatnot, but not to be envious and not to be jealous, because I don't know, you know what I see is just here on a screen. I don't know what's going on in their family life. I don't know what's going on in their personal life, in their financial life, in their spiritual life. I don't know what conflicts they're going through on the inside. On the outside, everything looks good. So stop. So I stop and I say, you know what? I'm not envious of anybody, because what I find usually, not all the time, most of the times, is when I dig a little bit deeper, I find out that, you know what? Their life ain't so great. They have problems just like everybody else does. They have challenges. They're up at night just the way I am. So while I can look around at people, at my colleagues, at my peers, I don't look at them enviously. I look at them and say, okay, how could I do better? What can I do better? Let me learn from them. Let me learn the good, the bad, and the ugly from them and take it on. But I don't look at it as envious, because then I'm just killing myself. I'm poisoning my own field, my own, you know, my own mind where my seeds are planted. I don't want to do that. So I stop it immediately, right? And we have all these thoughts that pop into our minds. The key is when we have these thoughts to grab them and say, oh, does this thought do me any good? No, I'm going to discard it. And now I'm going to bring in a positive thought that can help me in my journey, right?
Yeah.
I look at clouds. I learned this on my travels. Our thoughts are like clouds, right? And I live in South Florida, and man, it works perfectly in this situation. We have clouds that come in. You look at them and like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. They come in, they dump the rain. And then 10 minutes later, man, they're gone. And the blue skies. Our thoughts are just like that, right? Our thoughts are clouds. We can see them coming in a mile away. We get that feeling inside us, the thoughts, the sweat, the anxiety. We can tell when these thoughts are coming in. Problem is, most of us, we grow attached to these thoughts. We attach our worldview. We attach our personal internal view of ourselves onto these thoughts, and we make them our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep them. These thoughts want to go, but no, we keep them in our minds, and we lavish them, and we work on them, and we grow them, and we water them. And it's like, why? Let it go. This thought does not help me. Why do I have it? I don't know. I don't care. It's gone. And then you know what? Blue skies. Let's talk about the blue skies. Now forget about the rain that just happened. Let's look at the blue skies.
Right? Love it. Great, great lesson from Stoicism there. That, you know, we're not our thoughts. Our thoughts are here to serve us.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. And I love the idea of just taking the positive from people, but not getting jealous. I know one of the quotes from one of your mentors was, find somebody who has what you want, do what they did, get what they got.
That's right.
Take the positive, move on.
That's right. Absolutely. It's also on, you know, it's do what they did, right? How did they think? Do what they thought. how do they behave? How do they act? You know, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, they all put their pants on one leg at a time, but there are certain things that they do differently than we do. So if you want what they have, figure out what they've done and what they're doing, and just, you know, don't copy it word for word, but make what they did your own.
Awesome. Okay, let's go on to further in lessons in life. Okay, so you lost your father tragically early in life, and I know that it's not about the amount of time that you get to spend with your parents, it's about the quality of the lessons they taught you. So what are some of the best lessons you've learned from your parents?
Education means squat. My mother never graduated high school. My father never graduated the sixth grade. So education means squat. Yes, if you want to be an attorney, you got to go to law school. If you want to be a doctor, you got to, right? If you want to be a profession and be licensed in something, you got to go learn that, right? To be successful in life, to be successful in business, I don't believe you need education. Let me rephrase that. You need to get educated. You need to get educated in your business and in understanding how to deal with people and so forth. But what I'm saying is we don't need this formal education that we have today, going to school and all that kind of stuff. My father could barely put numbers together on a piece of paper, but he could do it all in his head. And he was a master mathematician in his head, but he couldn't figure it out on paper. He was an incredible businessman. People loved him, right? People wanted to do business with him. People trusted him. His handshake was enough. So all these things I learned from them, right? In real estate, my parents told me two types of people in this world, those that pay rent, those that collect, and you want to do whatever you can to collect it, right? My mother taught me that family is above all, is everything, everything. It's above all. There's nothing more. She sacrificed her life and her career for her family, right? To raise her children. They put my mother and father put the family first. And that's why they moved to this country, because they wanted to give their children a better opportunity, a better life. They wanted safety and security. So, and when I traveled, guess what I learned? That every mom, most parents, majority of the parents on the planet, doesn't care, doesn't matter what country you come from, what business you're in, they all want the same thing for their kids and their families. Better opportunities, security, safety, love, food, shelter. We are all the same. We're all the same on this planet. And another thing that they taught me was go out and get what you want. No one's going to give it to you. My parents came to this country. They didn't speak a word of English. My father built a small empire for his family, right? My mother went out and, you know, back in the day, there were no computers. There was nothing like this. You know, she went and got her broker's license. She had to sit there with maps open on the tables and books and pages. And remember, this is a woman who didn't graduate high school. This is a woman who escaped Nazi Germany, the Holocaust, Nazi Europe. So these people didn't have what anybody in this country has growing up today, which is opportunities. So, you know, that's what they taught me. Grab at opportunities as much as possible, right? They're out there. So there's a lot of lessons that I learned, you know, and be a good person. That is key. Just be a good person. Doesn't matter. I'll tell you another thing that my father taught me. He says, it doesn't matter what you do. He goes, you could be the guy that drives the garbage truck or that picks up the garbage. You can be the janitor in a building. It makes no difference what you do. Do it to the best of your ability so that you can be proud of the work that you're doing. That's it.
Love it. Taking pride. Huge thing. All right. I want to read one thing from your LinkedIn because I think it's beautiful. You say, I'm on a mission to wake people up. I believe we were put on this earth to live life to the fullest and on our terms. Yet so many people live by default. People play the hand they get and never look for more. So I just think that's a great way to sort of wrap up all that you've said so far. Yeah, I think we need to move on because I want to ask you about service. I know that you have a group that you're a part of, Vital Flight, with a mission to coordinate free transportation and life-changing experiences for those in need of compassionate medical or emotional support, with a vision to be Florida's premier all-volunteer aviation organization. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's a great organization. That is an organization that my Rotary Club, we work with hand in hand to raise money for them, be there to support them when they have these events, to hand out papers and flyers and get kids to come in. These are kids that have some sort of health issues, things of that nature, and we get them to go on a plane. It just, when we're happy, when we have that good vibe in us, our immune system is jacked up, right? Laughter is incredible, what it does to the mind, to the body, right? It releases all these different chemicals in our bodies to heal us and whatnot. So when we can do something, when we can put a smile on a child's face that is suffering, we know that we're actually helping them get better some way, somehow. And, you know, to help, to make this world a better place, I think should be the goal for every entrepreneur. The goal should not be money, because once you make money, it's never enough. It's never enough. How much is enough? Ask Elon Musk, ask Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Trump, whoever. How much is enough? For these guys, it's never enough. It's all about it. Now, that's great. You can have that burning desire where it's never enough. But, you know, I look at money as as cow manure, right? You pile money and cow manure, you pile it up high, all it does is it stinks. It doesn't do anything. But if you spread it around all over, guess what? It starts to grow things. It starts to fertilize. Same thing with money. If you hoard money and you hoard and you hoard and you hoard and you hoard, guess what? You're a hoarder. You're just hoarding money, but you're still a hoarder. When you die, you're not going to be able to take that money with you. When you die, what's left is the legacy that we've built, the memories that we leave behind, the actions that we've taken. So it's not about the money, but it's about what we do with it once we've achieved that success, that goal that we wanted to achieve. What do we do then? So I work with my clients, with my coaching clients a lot before we even get started. And I do a simple guided meditation where I ask them to close their eyes and start breathing and relaxing and go through the whole relaxation process. Then I ask them to visualize their if they could have any house that they could design and desire, what would it look like? And I want them to be very specific and so forth and whatnot. And then how would you dress? How would you look? How would you feel? How would you walk? Would you walk in confidence and so forth? And we put them in there. And then I say, okay, sit on the couch in the middle of your living room in the house that you just built, in the clothes that you're wearing, and the person that you are. You've achieved success. You don't have to go any further. Money's coming in. You're making $1 million, $2 million a month, whatever it is. What's next for you? What do you want to do with life? Why are you continuing to do what you do? Why are you you, and who do you want to become? And we go through these questions and we start creating this person and we start creating these ideas of where do I want to move my life to? What is more than money? What do I want? Because once we've achieved our financial goals, okay, now what? Do I just want to continue reaching more goals and make more money and make money for what? What is the reason? Why? Why are we here? So that why is huge, is important. When I was younger, one of my brothers told me, don't ever ask why. And now he said, don't ever ask why in math, right? 2 + 2 = 4. Why? Okay, let's talk about it, right? But sometimes when you tell a young kid, don't ask why, you know, that can flow into many things in life. But in life, we have to ask why. Why am I here? Why am I in front of you today, George? And why am I talking to you? What is the goal? What is the reason behind it? What is my mission? And it's not just about making money. It's about making money so that I can have the free time so that I can go and do good in life, so that I can go to a vital flight and spend time on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon and help these kids, so that I can go and work with Habitat for Humanity and build homes for the less fortunate, so that we can do all of these things. But if I'm stuck to a desk, and I have my job where I'm being paid and I'm just over broke, I don't have time to lift up my head and look around and go, how can I add value to the world? I'm stuck trying to survive. So yes, money will get us there, but we have to have a reason why we want to get there. And in the Jewish tradition, the Jewish religion, we have this thing in Hebrew called Tikkun Olam, repairing of the world. Every Jew has the responsibility to repair the world in some way, somehow. If you see injustice, you bring justice. If you see somebody being bullied, you bring in safety and security and you put yourself in between them and you stop that. So that is one thing that I really hold near and dear to me, is that we, I don't care if you're Jewish or not, we as human beings, we are all responsible for leaving this world better than we found it. And that is one reason why we have to go out there and become successful, so that we can make the world a better place to live in. Pleasure.
All right. Here. Beautiful. Okay. So now, you know what? I don't think we can get any deeper than we have in this interview. This is really beautiful. Talking about repairing the world and stuff like that. That's just beautiful stuff. And I just know that you've reached a lot of great people today. Before we go into the seven, these are my favorite seven questions to ask every guest. Just want to ask something sort of whimsical. I like to keep it fun a little bit. So if your life had a soundtrack, what would be the theme song?
We Are the Champions.
Oh, love it. All right. Okay. With that, let's head into the seven. You ready?
Let's go.
All right, Nitzan, if you could be known for only one thing, what would it be?
My smile.
What is the greatest lesson in leadership you've learned as an entrepreneur?
Put people in positions based on their personalities, not their skill sets.
What personal characteristic has been most pivotal to your success?
The ability to learn.
All right, and here, one last bit of randomness here. Whoa, I'm dropping my random cards. Talk about random. All right, tell me when to stop cutting the deck and we'll take the top.
Stop.
All right. Do you let little things get in the way of the big things? I think I already know the answer to this question.
No. Never sweat Never. The little stuff.
That's not the Nitzan Mosery way. Okay. All right. So what is one tip or trick that investors can implement in their businesses today?
One tip or trick that they, one tip or trick. Networking, understanding who your avatar is. When you're looking to raise capital, you need to know who your avatar is, and they have to be very, very detailed and specific, because you want to get down to their mindset, their beliefs, their myths about money, their myths about real estate. And then when you're presenting an opportunity to them, or you're going out there networking, now you've got more information and you can build rapport a lot faster and a lot quicker, so that you can build your network of investors.
All right. Can you name a book that's helped to forge you as a leader or as an entrepreneur, and tell us why?
Oh, man, there's so many. Oof. Yes.
I know you like Who Not How. That's something right. You've been mentioning a lot.
Yes. Who Not How. I love that book. You know what? I haven't read that book yet, but I've been my entire philosophy and everything that I've gone, even before I heard that book, was you got to change those three little letters, H-O-W. It's not how. We're not born knowing how to do stuff, right? It's who can I get on my team? Another book I would say is Psycho-Cybernetics, understanding what goes on in here and why we do the things we do and how to unlock our own self potential.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Can you give us a quote to help forge our listeners as leaders and entrepreneurs?
Listen, become incredible listeners. Active listening is key to becoming a great leader, and make sure you serve your people as a leader.
All right, beautiful. All right, so now finally, email, website, carry a pigeon, or smoke singles. What's the best way for our listeners to reach out to Nitzan Mosery?
Sure. Nitzan, N-I-Z-A-N at mtninvestmentgroup.com. My coaching, you can go to www.multifamilyinc.com. That's multifamilyinc.com. There's an application button. You can reach me out that way. My phone number is 561-212-7247. You can also go to my acquisitions company's website. That's www.mtninvestmentgroup.com.
All right. Amazing. Just want to thank you so much for taking the time to share your knowledge and experience with our audience today.
Thank you so much, George. I appreciate it.